everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. We are so excited today. We have a very special Hall Star with us today to talk with us about the new movie, The Christmas House. And I'm filmmaker Rachel Wagner, and Anna's here.
Hey, everybody.
Yes. And today we have Robert Buckley here. This is so exciting. First time on the podcast. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So what we've been doing the last few months is asking our guests, what was the whole quarantine experience like for you? And did you do any puzzles or quarantine baking or anything like that?
No, I definitely didn't do any baking. My wife is the baker in the family. Okay. and the cook. I'm not skilled in the kitchen. So she tore it up. She baked all the breads, made all the foods. So I was very spoiled in that way.
Yeah.
But no puzzles. There was a bit more video gaming than usual.
Oh, okay.
And then actually, I had The Christmas House to keep me busy because we were just really kind of in the throes of developing it and writing it over quarantine. So it's kind of nice to have something to keep me busy because I sort of thrive on to-do lists and productivity. Mm-hmm. So to suddenly have nothing to do doesn't feel like a vacation or a holiday to me. You know, I'm like, well, I'm constantly looking for tasks. So it was nice to have a little something to do and distract myself. Mm-hmm.
Were you worried at a certain point that we weren't going to get any Christmas movies, or were you pretty confident?
There was a healthy amount of concern.
Yeah.
But yeah. I was cautiously optimistic. Mm-hmm. I would say, like, I was really, really hoping it would happen and sort of trying to will it. But I was also aware of just how bad the cases were spreading, and was looking at just going like, this doesn't look good. And we initially wanted to shoot it in the US. So you can imagine that didn't help anything because we weren't, you know, obviously we weren't exactly crushing it in terms of containing the virus. So
yeah,
thankfully Canada was an option.
Yeah. Yeah. And all those Hallmarkies that were praying for Christmas movies, the prayers were answered.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We are grateful. Well, great. So the first time I ever saw you was in Lipstick Jungle. Mm-hmm. Was the first time I as Kirby, and that wasn't your first role, but I think it was an underrated show. I really loved the show, and it was a pretty spicy show. Was that a fun show to make?
You don't think Lipstick Jungle would work on the Hallmark channel?
No, I don't think so.
I would agree with you in that respect. What was the question? Did I like the show?
What was that like being on that show?
It was incredible because you know that was my first proper big show, like a big one of the big four networks, you know, and it's this all-star cast. I mean, it's like Brooke Shields, Kim Raver, Lindsay Pryor, you know, and all the guys, and you know, I was a recast, so I came in after they shot the pilot. Oh. And so I when we were doing reshoots, I was the only variable. Everyone else had their jobs locked in. And then I was hired, and what had happened was the writer's strike, if you remember, happened.
Oh, yeah. So
we were kind of just in this bubble. We were left alone shooting for a while, but there was a lot of firsts on that one for me. You know, it was, like I said, my first big set, first time, you know, I remember being in a movie theater and seeing a commercial for it. And the end of the commercial is me already almost naked, dropping my pants at Kim Raver and saying, "Want to take a picture?"
Yeah,
that was one of my most surreal career moments.
Like, what is happening here?
100%, because that's not who I am. I'm much more silly and goofy. So to see myself, you know, naked in a movie theater full of people being seductive, I'm like, what is my life? What's happening right now?
That's great. Yeah.
But you were a confident character and I don't know, it was really, I love Kim Raver in that. I thought she was really good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sort of her marriage and what was happening with her character. And, you know, Brooke Shields was probably the biggest star in the show, but I just really liked all of them. I think it was really good. So
yeah, everyone did a really fantastic job with it. And I got fortunate because I was only supposed to be there for a couple episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think the audience responded to that Kirby Nico storyline. And in the book, you know, he's he's a male model who's dumb as a bag of hair. So okay. Thankfully they switched it up for the TV show, because that would have been very boring.
Yeah.
And yeah, being able to be there for the full run, which was great.
Yeah, that's great. How did you get into acting to begin with?
I went the traditional route of getting a degree in economics from university and going into the econometrics field for a year and a half, and then transitioned into acting. No, I had the most roundabout way of getting here, where I went to university. I was studying economics, and my last semester I took intro to acting with a couple of my roommates who were also econ majors, because we had really heavy class loads, and we're like, this will be easy and fun, no written work, let's do it. And I loved it. And I remember the teacher saying, you should consider giving this a shot. Like, there might be something there, you know? And it wasn't a huge endorsement, but it was enough that it planted a seed, because I also really enjoyed it. So mm-hmm. I mentally filed that away. And I remember thinking, if I don't get any of these jobs that I'm applying for in the consulting field, I'll go to LA for a year and I'll just try it. That way I can say, you know, I did it and I have no regrets. Mm-hmm. And I ended up getting hired at the last firm I interviewed at. Immediately felt like a fish out of water. I remember sitting at my desk, because I did really well in school and I worked hard all my life. And I remember sitting at my desk with this awful sinking feeling, going like, I got the brass ring. I did the thing that we're all supposed to do. Yeah. And I feel so duped. I was so underwhelmed. So I think pretty early on, I was ready for something. And then for something else. And I met a woman at my cousin's wedding who was like, what do you do? I said, oh, I'm a consultant. And she just looked at me and went, you're wasting your time. You should be acting or modeling. She didn't know me from Adam, and I didn't know her from Eve. Yet I was so ready for life change. I looked at this total stranger and was like, you're right. What should we do about that?
Confirmation, yeah.
Yeah, and she said, I have a friend who works at an agency. If you have some photos taken, I'll pass them on to her. That's all, like, you know. So what I did was, the woman who I replaced at the consulting firm had left to become a photographer. I had her come to the office parking lot one day after work, take pictures of me in the parking lot, and then had them printed and sent on to this agent who was like, yeah, we'll pick you up for some commercials and some modeling stuff. And then that was a wrap.
Well, wow. See, your life is basically a Hallmark movie. This is very exciting. You were into business.
Yeah.
Realized you had your change of heart, and you mm-hmm. left business. That's right. And you that's very
pursued
exciting.
Your passion. Yeah.
I was the big town broker who went home to help his family on the Christmas tree farm and realized right. This is where I want to be.
Yeah.
That's very good. That's great. Well, Robert, I'm a really big One Tree Hill fan, so I have to ask you about that, of course. Okay. So what was it like to work on that show, and just, you know, being a show that people love so much, you know, what kind of is that like?
Working on it, you know, initially it was nerve-wracking, because the way I saw it, it was already a very successful show.
Yeah.
You know, they had already done 6 seasons. The show's a huge hit. Yeah. And I thought, okay, 2 of their favorites are leaving and 2 people are coming. So if this show starts to suck at this point, I am at least 50% responsible for it.
Oh, no.
So you better believe I paid close attention to those numbers for that first year. Because really? I thought, if I'm the guy who sinks this ship, oof, that's not good. but once I got over that fear, it was a lot of fun. You know, we were kind of in our own little world there. You know, Wilmington's a small town.
Yeah.
And, you know, so everyone sort of knows the cast, and it was a really unique experience. But yeah, I mean, it was a lot of fun just getting to do crazy stuff and working with that cast. That cast was great. So it was, and then now, yeah, it's so, I've never worked on a show with a fan base like One Tree Hill.
Yeah. It's a lot of very passionate fans. And you're lucky, because Chantel and you came in at the same time. So, you know, at least you had her, because I mean, the other cast was established. They knew each other so well. And so were they kind of like the cool kids, and y'all were kind of like were trying to be friends with you guys, or they were just cool, or?
No, they were cool. I definitely came in with the let's all be friends vibes, but I was met with the cool, let's be pals vibes, as opposed to being like, nah, freshmen, you go hang out at that table.
Okay.
No, there was none of that. Fortunately, everyone sort of looked at it like, we're all in this together, you know, let's be pals.
Oh, that's how I picture all of them. So that makes me happy to know that they are really like that. So.
Yeah. I mean, you can tell, like we still do conventions, you know, usually for it. And it's cool for the fans, but it's also really cool for us because it's always like a nice reunion, you know, to see each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're always, the One Tree Hill fans are always very excited when someone new joins the Hallmark family. So we were very excited earlier this year when we got to welcome you, because many others are. So yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, your first dive into the world of Christmas movies was over on Lifetime with The Christmas Contract.
Mm-hmm.
And that must have been pretty fun. I mean, that was a sort of a warm weather Christmas movie, which... is
you have
very
no
unusual
idea, Rachel. It was such warm weather. We shot a Christmas movie in Louisiana in July.
Oh,
you know, so and it was like a week where we were shooting at this outdoor place that was like next to like a mini pond. It felt swamp like, but it was so hot. And of course, it's a Christmas movie, so you have to be dressed like it's cold. That there was one scene in particular where I was wearing like a blue shirt. And after every single take, they had to come up with a different blue shirt, like a button-up shirt, to put it on me because I would just start sweating through the shirt.
Oh my god!
A single thing. And the heat was an obstacle.
Yeah, yeah, but it was fun. I mean, the whole idea of you guys having that fake relationship, you and Hillary Burton, that was pretty. I mean, that's classic rom-com Christmas movie goings on. It must have been kind of fun to do.
It was so much fun. I adore Hillary. And I got back, actually, I was about to leave for, I think, Paris for a One Tree Hill convention. And I got a text from her saying like, hey, buddy, what are you doing in 3 weeks? I was like, nothing at the moment. She was like, do you want to come be my love interest in a Christmas movie? Absolutely. Getting paid to hang out with a friend? That sounds terrific.
Sign me up.
The producer on that, Daniel Lewis, who is a friend of both of ours, is great. So the whole thing was just like getting to hang out with pals. It was adult summer camp.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Yeah. Well, and it was fun because it had things that you don't typically see in Christmas movies, like gumbo and, and you know, other Louisiana type things, which was fun.
Yeah.
Something different.
It was nice. It was a different setting. Like I said, that you see that the way they decorate that outdoor area, you know, where it looks kind of like a mini, it's like a pond and really cool older buildings. And yeah, that was beautiful. And Daniel Lewis, the producer on that, is he is a Southern boy, so he made sure that we tried all the Southern things and we got the full experience, because I'm a West Coast kid. So there was a lot that I had never experienced that was very, very cool.
That's great. So you were in your first Hallmark movie this year with Love in Store.
Yes.
And I'll just tell you, that is my favorite non-Christmas Hallmark movie of the year.
What?
Yeah, that's true. I'm not just saying that because you're
in
the interview.
I was going to say, Rachel is very objective, very serious about her ranking. So this is a really big deal.
I really enjoyed it. I thought, well, I really liked the two of you together and the whole dynamic of the QVC types. Yeah. It was really fun. And I thought Joie Boken's script was really solid in there, of the banter between the two of you and all the different things that you kind of do together was nice, because sometimes when it's a work environment story, it can be too corporate. And so you never, it can be kind of boring, because you never get like those intimate moments that you need for a relationship. Whereas this one, you did like the escape room and you did like a bunch of different things together outside of the office, which I appreciated.
Yeah.
And I just think like sarcasm and bickering is fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know?
And there was so much of that in that script. Mm-hmm. So it was really fun to play. And Alexandra's great, you know, because it's always, you know, it's a bit of a roll of the dice, you know, when you do a two-hander like that, you know, unless you know the person, like Christmas Contract, I knew Hillary. So I thought, no matter what happens, we're going to be great, because it's her and I for 95% of the scenes. Mm-hmm. Where in this one, Alex and I hadn't met yet. So going there, it's just one of those things where you're like, oh, please let them be nice and professional and cool. And she was, and we kind of hit it off pretty quickly. So, you know, it just lends itself to a much better experience. And I think a lot of times that carries over onto the screen. You know, if you see two people who enjoy each other's company, like the riffing's better, the energy's a bit lighter.
Yeah.
Well, I admire that you were able to sell all that flirty vacuum talk.
That was so good.
I will tell you what, though, to be completely honest, if I never make another vacuum metaphor in my life, I will be totally okay with that.
Oh, I thought that was so funny, but I know what you mean.
It was definitely funny. We enjoyed it. So you succeeded.
All right. Well, thank you for that. It's nice to know I pulled it off.
Yes, you did. Christmas House. So you developed this story, you pitched it to Hallmark. What was the process like with that?
The process was on Love in Store, actually. The on-set producer for that, we were just talking one day and I mentioned how, you know, I was a big fan of Christmas. And I explained, you know, growing up, my family used to go all out. Like, we would decorate the entire inside of the house. We would transform it into like a winter wonderland, like to the point that local elementary schools would take field trips to it. It was a spectacle. And she just said like, wow, that could be a Hallmark movie. And at the time I just thought like, okay, cool. But then Kate Redinger, a Hallmark executive who was one of the executives on Love in Store, caught wind of this. So she called me and was like, hey, I heard you have a cool, quirky family Christmas tradition. I'd love to hear more about it. So we sat down at lunch and I told her about it. Her and Lori Furneaux, who were the executives on Love in Store, I sat down with them and I told them, and they're like, well, there might be something here. Would you want to come up with a story and come in and pitch us? To which I was like, sure. But inside, I've never pitched. So I'm like, what am I doing? So I went home and came up with a story of how I thought we could, you know, make a movie around this tradition, and went back in and pitched it. And they're like, great. We'll put it in the hopper and we'll let you know when we make decisions. And like 6 months later, I get a phone call and they're like, hey, it's happening. So that was kind of it. And then from that point, they had paired me up with Aaron Rodman, our writer, and her and I developed the whole story. And then Aaron went off and wrote it.
Oh, that's really so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's got a personal connection to you as far as at least the concept of the house. So that's cool.
Oh, yeah. And there's a lot of touches to it that are either directly lifted from my life or inspired from my life. You know, the main, or the, my character, Mike, you know, he's an actor and so I was like, I for sure want him to be an actor like me. And I would like to put him on a bit of a silly show. Like, I've done some silly shows, like very self-serious shows, like pretty people solving serious problems, you know? So the idea of Handsome Justice was just so preposterous to me.
That's the name of the show.
Opening scene, you'll see the TV show that Mike is the lead actor on is called Handsome Justice, where he plays a lawyer named Rick Handsome, and it's a bit over the top. So like that was a little nod to sort of my career. But then, yeah, the actual tradition of the house is something my family did for my entire childhood. Mike, as a young boy, was a magician. That's directly lifted from my life. I was a magician growing up. And then a lot of just the touches on the house itself and the process of putting the house together is exactly how we used to do it.
Wow.
That sounds really fun.
Yeah, not everyone in their house or in their life has something that, you know, can be made into a Hallmark movie, like something so cool that can be, you know, made into that. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's quite surreal, you know, to sit back and be like, we just made a movie about something. What? About my life? Like, mm-hmm. It's all very odd to me still, but you know, how cool.
So you have like your family that's gathering at the house or something like that?
Yeah, so in the movie, my parents are getting ready to sell the house that they raised my brother and I in, that they've lived in for a long time. And they kind of come up with the idea of if it's going to be our last Christmas, let's go big and let's bring back, you know, the Christmas house, which they haven't done in 20 years since the boys left high school. So they rope us into it. And so myself and my brother, Brandon, who's played by Jonathan Bennett, we fly home. And we, you know, have like 2 weeks instead of the usual month to just work hard and bust it out and turn the house into the Christmas house.
That's cool. And so your parents is treat Williams and Sharon Lawrence in the mm-hmm. movie. Is that right?
Yes. Have you ever interviewed them?
No.
No, we love them though. They're great.
Those are good people mm-hmm. to love. They're awesome.
Yeah.
Also both a hoot.
Oh yeah. Really?
Yeah. True story. We had a ton of fun on set. I don't know if you follow Jonathan on social media, but he posted a video yesterday of him putting the clip ties or whatever.
I saw that. Yeah. Clothespins. Yeah.
The clip pins on Sharon's jacket and then roping Treat into it and Treat doing it. And that was what we did. Like we really got along. Everyone clicked. Plus, you know, we had to quarantine when we got to Canada.
Yeah.
So typically you just show up basically on the first day and you're like, hi, nice to meet you, and action, you know? Whereas this time we got to Canada and we had all 2 weeks of quarantine. So we spent 2 weeks texting and on the phone. So by the time we showed up to set, there was already such a natural chemistry that the riffing and the bantering kind of came very naturally.
What'd you do during that 2 weeks? Did you like binge watch some shows or?
You know, I also produced the film. So I was doing a lot more of the producing side of it, was keeping me busy, prepping the script. And then, yeah, you know what? I love a good Food Network show, but I went hard for the 6 weeks that I was involved on this project. Like all I watched was basically the Food Network, and the place I was staying had Food Network on demand. So I'm gonna tell you what, I saw so many episodes of Beat Bobby Flay and all of just everything. You know, I dip into some Top Chef. I know that's Bravo, but still. Yeah. And then what was funny was Jonathan was, you know, his like Halloween wars were on. Mm-hmm. So I would spend all day on set with him. And then I'd go home for like the hour of TV I would do before I went to sleep. And I'd be like, get out of my life, John. Because every commercial break, it's Jonathan. This guy, I can't shake him.
Oh, yeah, that's funny.
You're like rage watching Chopped. Like, why are you using the ice cream maker? Stop.
I know. There's 60 seconds on the clock and you're preparing a roux. You're starting a roux right now. Yeah. Idiot. I love to do that, by the way. Like, I'll learn a word and then I'll try to use it around my wife, like I'm talking about. And she's just
like, don't make risotto on Chopped. It always is bad. And panna cotta, those are the two. Like, don't do it. It never works.
Don't do it. But people still try it. Everyone wants to be the one who's you know, the first to pull off risotto. And it's like, what are you?
Yeah.
You just see that look in Ted Allen's eyes where he's like, you dummy. Okay. Good luck with your risotto. Ted knows. He's been there.
Yeah. That's right. That's funny. this film has one of the first gay adoption storylines, the first for Hallmark, which is very exciting. And so what was that like to add that, have that be in your film?
that was really important to me. Mm-hmm. You know, I do have a brother in real life, though he's straight and married with a child. But I knew when I went in to pitch this that I basically led with that. I kind of mm-hmm. said, here's the general framework of the story. But also I want my brother to be married and I want to see them as a couple. I basically want to show them the exact same way we show straight couples.
Right.
Because we haven't really seen a lot of that. And I just feel like if I'm going to get the opportunity to tell a story, then I don't just want to tell a fun, entertaining story. I would like there to be some meaning or some significance to it. And in this case, I felt like, yeah, let's be as inclusive as we can be. Let's invite as many people to the table as we can. Mm-hmm. You know, because growing up, there was at least one of me in every single thing I saw. It was never hard for me to find myself in a movie or TV show. And it wasn't until much later in life that I realized that's not the case for everybody. Yeah. So in this case, it would just felt like it was long overdue. So I kind of went in going, hey, this is what I want to do. Not sure how it would be received, but I thought, but if it doesn't, I just want to be upfront. Because if they're not into that, totally cool. At least we know early. And instead, they were very much on board. You know, I think they also were ready to, you know, just sort of change it up and start, you know, showing different things. And so they were on board and were like, yeah, we love it. Go farther. Mm-hmm. What more can you do with it? Mm-hmm. So it was a great partner in that respect.
Yeah. That's so great to hear because I don't know, as far as I can see, it's a win-win situation. You tell more stories. It's not like there's going to be less stories of girl meets guy stories that people could enjoy. So why not? Why not welcome more people into the family and have more stories? That's how I see it, at least.
That's the other thing too, is like the more people you include, the more possibilities you have. Like you limit yourself, you limit the scope of the story you can tell by only having a small portion, you know? So in this case, it was nice, you know, and it was a fun storyline to explore. It turned out great. Jonathan and Brad did a fantastic job with it. And, you know, like I said, I'm proud of it. You know, it wasn't about trying to be like a crusader or anything, but it was just like, if I'm an actor. So typically I don't really get, I'm a part of the story, but I'm not a part of deciding what the story is.
Right.
Yeah.
So in this case, I felt like I may not ever get this opportunity again. So what do I want to do with it? And in that case, it was, let's try to include more people.
Yeah. Was this something you'd like to do more of as far as producing and coming up with stories and things like that? Did you enjoy it?
I did enjoy it. I learned that actors require a lot of attention. We like show dogs. We love to get on the phone and share ideas and feelings, you know? So it was a good sort of exploration to be on the other side of it. I was like, oh, okay, good to know. This is what it's like. But I had a great time. And, you know, it was... there's so much to learn, but it was with a great group who was happy to sort of teach me on the fly. And in terms of the storytelling and, you know, being on the other side of it, I enjoyed it. So I would definitely like to do more of it.
Great. Well, we're excited for the movie. It should be a really fun little Thanksgiving treat to enjoy. So we have some fun holiday questions that we like to end our interviews off with.
Great.
So, all right. First question. What is your favorite holiday drink?
Holiday drink.
Be hot cocoa or eggnog or stronger, whatever you like.
No, it would be hot cocoa.
Okay, good. Do you prefer whipped cream or marshmallows?
I'm celebrating. You got to live your life. It's got to be whipped cream. Here's the thing. Well, you know what? Let's go wild, whipped cream and marshmallows.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, eggnogs do hit or miss. I feel like, listen, hot chocolate's always good.
Yeah.
It's just varying shades of good. Whereas you catch a weird eggnog and you're like, what happened here?
That is very, very true. Good advice.
All right. What is your favorite holiday cookie or treat?
Favorite holiday cookie or treat? That's a good question.
It's a hard question.
Yeah, with the hard hitting questions here. The Home Cookies podcast.
I mean, I my mom makes a great 7-layer cookie. That she typically makes those around Christmas time. So that's sort of associated with Christmas for me.
And is that like a bar?
Layers? It is. It's like, yeah, exactly. Like a multi-layered cookie. Okay. But also, I'll tell you what, I was in Vancouver for the last five Christmases, and my wife Jenny and I, we started going to this Christmas fair, and they had a booth that would make fresh churros.
Ooh.
So all of a sudden, churros
off that list. Associated with Christmas.
Yeah, like listen, churro is a year-round treat.
Yeah.
If you want to serve it to me at Christmas and call it a Christmas churro, I'm in.
They certainly have mastered that at Disneyland.
Yes. Yes, they have.
It's a Christmas churro. We added sprinkles and a little icing.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right. What is your favorite Christmas song or carol?
Oh, man. Oh, easy. Yeah. Wham, Last Christmas.
Oh, okay. Good. Good. All right. Do you have a classic, favorite classic Christmas movie?
I have a couple.
Okay.
So A Christmas Story.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Probably the one I've seen the most in the course of my life. And there was probably a 15-year period where I could recite every single line of the movie.
Yeah.
Wow.
However, I would say I don't watch it as much now. Now I'm more of a National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, Elf. Mm-hmm. Those would definitely be up there.
Those are good ones.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have a favorite holiday tradition? I guess that Christmas house probably is your favorite.
Yeah. Listen, that was a pretty awesome tradition.
Yeah.
A lot of work, but yeah, it was a pretty great tradition.
Yeah. Which do you like better, Scrooge or the Grinch?
The Grinch.
Okay. Good. All right. Clear lights or colored?
Colored.
Okay. Would you rather be in a snowball fight or build a snowman?
Ooh, am I winning the fight?
Are you winning the fight?
If it's like me versus a couple of 12-year-olds, for sure a snowball fight. But if it's like a snowball fight where I might get hit hard and not like it, I'm going to go snowman.
Okay.
Good. Okay. Very specific. All right.
You know what? You can always turn making a snowman into a snowball fight. So
true.
That's true. Have both.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Would you consider yourself a good gift wrapper?
I would. Surprisingly, I'm not bad at it. I don't like doing it, but I, when I put my mind to it, I'm not bad.
Okay. Well, that's good. All right. Last question. Do you have an ugly Christmas sweater?
Yeah.
What does your ugly Christmas sweater look like?
Oh boy. It's just ugly. It's got all the things. It looks like, you know, you threw a bunch of random ornaments at it. But there's just it's like hand stitched. So it's like that big puffy fabric that comes out. It's got, you know, someone was overly ambitious. They're like, I'll just put a scene with 30 different characters in it on a sweatshirt. Like, this didn't translate well. It's a mess. And it's so much fabric that whenever I've worn it within like 8 minutes of being at the party in the sweatshirt, I'm near heat stroke. So it's also a hazard. It's a safety hazard.
That's awesome. Well,
very good. You answered all the questions. You passed the test.
Oh, thank goodness.
You did a very good job. But thank you so much for coming on and talking with us. We really appreciate it. Yes. And hope you have a very, very Merry Christmas. And we look forward to the new movie. And do you have social media that you'd like to share?
Sure. I am on Instagram at Robert Earl Buckley, Twitter at Robert Buckley. And yeah, the Christmas House will be on Sunday, November 22nd at 8 p.m. only on Hallmark Channel.
Great.
That's right.
Well, thank you very much. And hopefully we can have you on when you make Love in Store 2.
Yes.
Or we the hope. Sequel to the Christmas House.
Yes, oh, there we go.
Christmas House. Put it out in the universe right now, gang. That's happening.
Oh, there you go. I like it.
Sounds awesome. Good. Well, thanks
thank
again.
You very much. And this was
thank
fun.
You so much.
Yeah, yeah, Merry you. Christmas, everyone.
Yeah,
Merry Christmas.
I'd like to thank Robert for coming on the podcast. This was so much fun to get to talk with him and get to know him. And so let us know in the comment section or on Twitter what you think about all the different things we talked about. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And Anne, where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at awscott21.
Great. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. So check that out. And make sure you're following the podcast at Hallmarkies Podcast and Hallmarkies Pod, all of our social media. And if you're listening on iTunes, please leave your ratings and reviews. It really helps us out a lot, especially during this busy time of the holidays. If you are watching on YouTube, please give this video a thumbs up, subscribe to the channel. We appreciate that so much. We have our patron group, which we're having live patron watch alongs where you get to watch a movie with some of the talent of Hallmark writers, directors, other talent. It's really fun. We do that once a month, only $2 a month to join, and you can participate. Really fun. So check it out. And we also have our merch store, which has tons of holiday inspired merch. So take a look at that. And thanks again to Robert. Really appreciate him coming on. And we'll talk to you all later. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Bye-bye.